Rich Kimble, Gary Haskell, and Bruce Pratt with us in studio for this week's Sports Lit 101. As we get a chance to talk with the author of a book we chatted about a few weeks ago, The Rebounders, A Division I Basketball Journey, Amanda Ottaway joins us this afternoon. Amanda, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
You had the dream that a lot of young athletes have, which is the opportunity to play at Division I, and this tells the story of that experience making your way to Davidson University and both the highs and the lows of that whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
When you were young, I mean, you grew up in Pennsylvania, in Western Pennsylvania, and that's a real hotbed of athletic activity. How young do you really remember thinking, I'm going to be playing basketball for a really long time?
I was 14 when I figured out that I wanted to play in college, and that I wanted to play Division I in college. And beyond that, you know, I had vague notions of going abroad after college and playing professionally and getting to see the world. But, you know, I never really thought about the WNBA. But yeah, I was 14 when I started getting really serious.
Now, you were recruited by more than one school, and you chose Davidson, which, as anybody who's paying attention knows, is not only the alma mater of Steph Curry, but is one of the top liberal arts colleges in the country. So that you're getting a really good education, and you're paying a price. And I think I know what you're going to say. You feel happened in the end, but explain how there were times along the way you must have been thinking to yourself, why am I here in North Carolina and why is this happening to me?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I am very grateful to have gotten the opportunity to go to Davidson. And I said this in the book, I think, but I wouldn't have been anywhere near that place financially without a full scholarship. And so I think about that most days of my life, honestly, that I don't have loans. I'm super, super fortunate. At the same time, you know, we did work basically for our scholarships, and that's how my teammates and I saw it. And I know there's a lot of spirited debate about this, but the way that many of us looked at it was as a business deal. You know, like plenty of people work their way through college. You know, they waitress or they work in the library or they, you know, they swipe cards in the cafeteria. So what we did was we played basketball, and so the court was our office, the coaches were our bosses. And we got paid for the work that we did there, and we got paid in a free education. And I think that once I was probably a sophomore or a junior when I started looking at it that way, and that was helpful in that it enabled me to turn it off and to turn to the schoolwork when I could, or like, you know, when we weren't on the court anymore. But it was also, you know, I recognized even at the time it was kind of a jaded way to look at it. But in many ways, it felt real.
I was really struck by the section of the book talking about what was euphemistically called family-focused recruiting that went on in women's athletics. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's a dangerous term. What we saw was kind of a very subtly homophobic recruiting process. And I think that in the past, I mean, even an article I cite in the book is from 2011, I believe. And so from around that time on, or I think, so I'm sorry, before my recruiting process, I think homophobia was a lot more blatant with some coaches. And then it kind of morphed a little bit. And so the way that Davidson was presented to me, or the Davidson team was presented to me, was as full of girls who dated boys. And it was pointed out to us as recruits on campus, you know, like, this girl on the team is dating the quarterback of the football team. You know, and like, what reason would a coach have to tell you and your family who her players are dating if it didn't matter to her, you know? And, you know, she said some things to my mom and to another recruit's mom in the car about wanting to call the parents of players that she suspected were dating women. And so it was just not like LGBTQ people are not welcome on this team. You know, that was never outright stated, but it was implied, I believe.
Now, isn't that, in a sense, I think, plays into the very cautionary tale aspect of your book? I mean, it's a very compelling memoir. Obviously, you're a journalism major. You're a very, very skilled writer. But part of this is really, I think, is advising young people and their parents to go into the recruiting process with their eyes fully open. I mean, no, I wish I had read this book before my sons were involved in that, because they don't always tell you the truth.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm sorry that it didn't come in time, but that's my hope for the book, is that people will read it and be like, "Oh, you know, this is what it can really be like for a lot of people." And, you know, things that I missed entirely when I was getting recruited were, for example, at the time, and I think they're looking to change this policy now, but at the time Davidson did not provide any kind of secondary health insurance for student athletes. So you went and you were covered by your parents' insurance, but when you got injured and if something was out of network or if it exceeded the cost that the insurance covered, your parents were responsible for those costs. Now there was another bucket of funds that was available to us, but we didn't really know about that. And you know, as teenagers, like, first of all, what the heck is health insurance? Why would I have been thinking about that? You know, I should have been, but I wasn't. And also, like, you never think you're going to get hurt. So, but then in real life, like, my teammates did get injured, and their parents, in some cases, did shell out thousands of dollars for their medical treatment. And to its credit, Davidson is working on changing this. But at the time, you know, that's the way it was, and we just had no clue coming in. And so I think that, and that's obviously, that's information that's not in the best interest of a coach to volunteer that information if they're recruiting you, but so you have to know how to advocate for yourself. And so issues like that, I wanted to kind of help people out.
We're talking with Amanda Ottaway, the author of The Rebounders, a Division I basketball journey. And people grow up playing games because they love them. But when you are a scholarship athlete, you may still love the game, but it also becomes in many ways a job.
Yes.
And when you said that it was a job, and that you learned to approach it that way, my question is, did anybody ever tell you it would become a job? Did anybody tip you off to that, or was it always, basketball is so much fun, you're going to love playing basketball here?
In terms of people who recruited me, yeah, it was always the latter. It was always, you know, it's going to be great, we're going to win the conference championship, we're going to go play in Europe in the summers, you're going to be first team all conference. It was definitely all things along those lines. Now, I had high school coaches who had both played Division I, and they were amazing, and they gave me really good advice. But I honestly don't remember anyone telling me, phrasing it quite like the job thing. That's not the case for everyone, but not everyone feels like that, I don't think. But I certainly did. Knowing I would have gone into it anyway, I think. But just knowing that was coming, that would have been useful.
I'm the faculty liaison at Maine to the women's ice hockey team.
Awesome.
And one of the things that we deal with all the time is not only that women's sports aren't as well funded on many campuses as men's sports, but that within the general community, the kind of support they get is very different. Now, you played at a school whose men's basketball team got a lot of attention because they did very well. Did that help you guys, or did that hurt you guys?
That's a good question. I think both. I mean, really, I came in, so the guys went to the Elite Eight in the spring, and then I came in to Davidson as a freshman in the fall of 2008, and that was really fun, and that was a really fun atmosphere to come into, where Davidson basketball was just, everybody in the country was talking about Davidson basketball. Probably not everybody, but, like, it felt like it, you know, at the time. And so there was this huge atmosphere of excitement around Davidson basketball. But also, you know, I do think that, and this is something I talk about a lot, but when we say Davidson basketball, the default is Davidson men's basketball. Like, that's what everybody goes to. And so I think that while we did have very solid and loyal community support, the number of fans who showed up for the men's games was many times the number of fans who showed up for the women's games. And that's the case at schools across the country.
Amanda, what advice would you give to high school athletes who are considering the opportunity to go on and become scholarship athletes? What should they know? What would you recommend they learn more about?
Good question. Some of the most important things for me were injuries. So how are injuries handled on a team at a school? So who pays for your treatment? What happens to players when they get injured? Are they still allowed to come to practice? You know, in many cases, my teammates didn't come to practice if they were injured. There were some rules about that sometimes. And also just kind of, I put this in the book as well, but questions I wished I had asked coaches who were recruiting me were, when your players graduate, do they come back and ask you for recommendations for jobs or fellowships? Because that speaks a lot to the coach-player relationship and a culture of mutual respect there. And another question that I wish I had asked was, do your players invite you to their weddings or to other important events in their lives, even after they graduate? Because again, that speaks to the coach-player relationship. And I think I had a fraught relationship with my coaches, as is clear in the book. And I think that I just wish I had known a little more about how much power college coaches have. It's a really skewed power dynamic.
I really wanted to get into that too, because you had a coaching change, and we see now so often when there is a coaching change, kids just flee. You know, at Maine, we have the situation where that's happened, where we've had coaching changes and a lot of kids have left and transferred. Do you think that one of the biggest problems that an athlete faces is that they don't really understand that coaches come and go and the coach is always looking out for the coach first?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a really important consideration. It was a big epiphany for me when I realized that my coaches were scared about losing their jobs, and that their families, their homes, their whole lives could be uprooted if we didn't win basketball games, and if the 18 to 22 year old women in their care did not win basketball games. And that's a lot of pressure for them, and it's also a lot of pressure for the players. And the other part of that is that the coaches are like what I see as the adult in this equation. I see the players, young adults, in many cases when they're being recruited, they're kids. And so it's so skewed in that way. I think the other thing that someone pointed out to me once was that, like, in other cases, the coach stays at the school long after the athlete graduates. And so in some ways you could be a blip on the radar, or your coach could be a blip on your radar. So anyways, it's just important to think about the school, the academics, the culture of the school, whether you like it there, whether you fit in there, and the team, because coaches, as I learned, can come and go just like that.
Well, Amanda, The Rebounders is a great book. I really, really enjoyed it. I said last time out, I think that if you have a child that's going this direction, you should read it. We thank you so very much for being with us and wish you success in all of your other journalistic endeavors.
That was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
It's Amanda Ottaway, author of The Rebounders, a Division I basketball journey, here on Sports Lit 101. Bruce, next week we'll be talking about a new book, right?
Yeah, we'll be talking about the book I just gave you called The Pitcher and the Dictator. Mm. It's about Satchel Paige's year playing for what turned out to be Trujillo's own team. And it's a fascinating look at what may have been the greatest baseball team ever assembled. And I mean, the case is made that by the author that these Cuban, the Americans, and the other players may have been one of the best teams ever. But it really gives you a background into what was going on in Latin America at the time. Fascinating book. And now the author is a very interesting guy, Averill A. Smith. He's run campaigns for all kinds of major politicians, Paul Simon, Mayor Daley, Hillary Clinton, people like this. So he understands the politics of the situation as well as the baseball. It's really a good book.
Excellent. Looking forward to reading that. And also some more authors coming on over the course of the next few weeks, including A. Smith, but also coming back on the show with us, Steve Almond.
Yeah, with that wonderful new book of his, Bad Stories, which just dropped. I mean, it's just out. It's just on the market. I've had a chance to read it. I know you probably haven't had a chance to finish it yet, but what a fabulous book.
Amanda was great, and I love her question she wish she had asked, because that would tell you so much. Do you get invited? Yeah. Do you get invited to your players' big life events? Do they come back and ask for you as to be a reference for them?
Yeah, you know, and I thought about that as a coach. Yeah, you know, sometimes I'll be 15 years later and I'll say, I'm looking for a job. That they want me, someone from high school. I tell them, the teachers are all retired. I can still get a hold of you. Would you write? And I always think, A, I'm flattered, and B, yeah, this is a kid. It's always a kid you know you want to do something for. And it happens to you all the time, too. And it's, that's a question I wish I had known.
That's great. Amanda Ottaway, the book is The Rebounders, a Division I basketball journey. And